Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents, and, you know, I just remembered. I forgot to give Joe the business last week on the show when I think it was Joe Rexroad who asked me who's going to be the Patriots' offensive coordinator, and I told him Josh McDaniels, yes. And he threw a fit.
Yes.
And what happened, Joe?
Should have been Matty Pat. Should have been Matty Pat again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, have some of that, Rex Road.
I think I gave you the business more for your take that it's an awesome hire. And yeah, it may be. Maybe I'm a little down on McDaniels just because
it wasn't a hire at that point, though. It wasn't. That was you. You were just no. It's inexplicable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better than. I mean, it could have been Todd Downing, who is the receivers coach.
Let's say he got hired. He did.
I would take McDaniels over Todd Downing. I will say that.
It's good. To Fair know. Enough. How you guys doing today?
How's New Orleans?
Good. How's New Orleans down there?
I don't know. It's fine. I'm not. I am probably one of the rare exceptions amongst journalists who doesn't. I'm not like a big New Orleans Super Bowl site fan. I'm really not. Like it's fine. It's okay. I mean, it's.
It's the best food in the country, man. Okay.
No Nashville,
I mean,
though.
No, I mean, from a food standpoint, yeah. I mean, the food's fantastic. But I don't know. I prefer Miami. I thought L.A. was great. It's way more spread out. I mean, I guess it all depends what you want logistically. Everything's close here. Food's good.
Charles is just counting down the days until he gets to spend Super Bowl week with us here in Nashville.
Yeah, it's coming, man. It's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be fun. That'll be exciting when that happens. I'm very much looking forward to that. Sleeping on Joe's couch.
That's right.
He'll be thrilled.
That's right. So, Charles, apparently Myles Garrett has had enough of being a member of the Cleveland Browns. You're talking about one of the best defensive players in the league. He's had 14 or more sacks for four consecutive seasons. He's 29 years old, so how do you think this all ends up playing out with Myles Garrett, and what do you think the market for a player of his caliber is going to look like this offseason?
Well, I give him credit because I think he's articulated it pretty well, you know, the reasons why he wants a trade. And, you know, he's been very clear, look, he wants to win a Super Bowl. I think there was – what ultimately happened was when the Browns season ended and Deshaun Watson had suffered the second torn Achilles, and it was pretty clear that they were going to have to remix the quarterback room. And Andrew Berry, the general manager, came out and said the quarterback room is going to look different. It felt like a rebuild, felt like another reboot, at least, or at the very least, a mini reboot. And Garrett's been through that, and I think he's just frustrated. And that was interesting that he said, you know, it wasn't about Cleveland to Canton. That's not what his goal was. And it's to say that as a Cleveland Brown, I think there's a little Joe Thomas in that statement. You know, I think as everybody in the organization knows, that's a guy that should have won a Super Bowl, was a, you know, absolutely great player at his position for the longest time in the NFL and just went through reboot after reboot after reboot. And, you know, Garrett doesn't want that. And, you know, I've heard some people say, well, you know, he took his time after the season ended. The Browns knew pretty quickly that he was going to want out of there. But their standpoint is, look, you're every year, you're, if not defensive player of the year, you're in the top two or three players. They feel like he's got 4 or 5 years left of prime, and they don't want to move off him, and they're very adamant about it. And I think part of the reason why I went public was because of the fact that the Browns were going to be vocal about the fact that they're not dealing him. So I don't know how this works. I mean, from a financial standpoint, the Browns really can't do it, because if you were going to trade him because of the cap hit you would take, you'd have to push more Watson money backward. You'd have to redo Denzel Ward's contract, push more money backward. You'd probably have to cut a couple of players. So just from a pain standpoint, the Browns are sitting there going, we can't destroy the team to trade, oh, by the way, our best player, who we don't even want to get rid of at this point. And, you know, Andrew Berry's stance is, if you want to throw a couple first-round picks on the table, I'm going to say no. And that's where we stand right now. But I think Garrett's taking advantage of the window that he has right now, because he knows, look, teams, if there is a team inclined to make a big run in terms of a trade, you need to announce now, like, hey, come get me before you go to free agency and try to fill that position, or before you start to focus in on the draft and maybe go after a defensive end in the draft. You know, come get me. I'm ready to go somewhere else and compete for a championship. I don't know how it'll turn out. I think from a financial standpoint, I just don't know how the Browns could make that work unless they could somehow claw back some of Deshaun Watson's money. But even that, you don't get that until future years. It's a tough spot, and I get where Garrett's coming from, but I think with the way the Browns look at it, it's, you need to be a part of us turning around. And I think the very small hope maybe in Cleveland is, if we get the right quarterback in here, even if it's a rookie, maybe we have a situation where it's like when CJ Stroud got into Houston, and pretty quickly, you know, there was traction there. If this turns into a nasty holdout, say he doesn't come in camp, say he says, I'm going to sit out games, maybe the Browns could show enough on the field early on with a different quarterback that Garrett reconsiders.
So you're saying the Lions will not be having Myles Garrett and Aiden Hutchinson as bookend?
No, it's funny because it's like every defensive player that becomes potentially available, you know, Lions fans are clamoring for it. No, I mean, the Lions cap in 2026 is a train wreck. Like, when you look at it, the amount of money they have dedicated to like four players is unreal. And, you know, they're going to have to extend Aiden Hutchinson after the 2025 season. I think, you know, he's that rare defensive player that you're going to give him the quarterback nod and redo his deal, or at least extend his deal after year three. So it's just, yeah, I don't, at this stage, I think if you go and you trade for Garrett, you're probably redoing his deal anyway. And what are you bumping him to? Is he going to make $40 million a season? Because that's where the edge rushers are ultimately going. And I think Garrett's also looking at it as, okay, say, so Hutchinson's going to get his extension after 2025. Micah Parsons coming. Like, that $40 million floor for the best pass rushers, I absolutely think that's coming. So I think there's some consideration there too.
There's obviously lots of potential movement here. A couple of Rams, and we've talked some. I think we were going to pick this up last week on Stafford.
Yeah.
Not that, yeah, I don't think there's any realistic way that he would ever look here. But Stafford, mm-hmm. What are they doing? And then obviously Cooper Kupp, what's the feeling around the league about him and how much he has left and who might be interested in him?
Well, the Rams were prepared for this with Stafford going back to camp, you know, when they redid his deal. I think I was there the first day in camp that he was on the field throwing again. And I talked to somebody inside the organization then, and I'm like, you know, and it hadn't come out yet, but they told me at the time, well, okay, we worked it out. So we moved guaranteed money into 2024 to basically give both sides flexibility in 2025. If Matt decides I want to retire, He'll have that option, and he'll have already gotten his guaranteed money moved up to 2024. If we decide we want to move on, there's not going to be, you know, some monster cap hit that we have to deal with. And if we both come to an agreement that, hey, maybe it's best to make a left turn at quarterback now, we can either, you know, deal you, or what's more likely, you know, cut you and you're going to end up going wherever you want in the NFL. They were prepared for this. And so I think right now, I think it's in limbo. I think it's very possible that Stafford, though, becomes available. I think, you know, there's a very good chance that they end up cutting him. And I think when you look at that situation, there are going to be a number of teams. I mean, not just Tennessee. I mean, Pittsburgh, they're going to be a litany of potential options for him. I think there would be an appetite for him as well. But I don't think the Rams have completely closed the door either. General manager Les Snead and head coach Sean McVay, neither have come out and spoken in any absolutes, but they also haven't committed to him. And so I think if the number potentially was right, and they also look afield and see that we don't see our quarterback, resolution, or maybe we want to go and draft, say, like a Jackson Dart or someone, you know, potentially in the second round, or maneuver ourselves to be able to draft a quarterback. And then, you know, we bring Matt back and we figure it out from there on a year-by-year basis. I still think that's how it could resolve itself. Cooper Kupp won't be there. Cooper was available at the deadline. I think that they became a little, they were sticklers about price because they felt like they could still compete if they didn't move him. So they wouldn't, you know, the price tag, I mean, it was ridiculous. I think it was like at one point a first. I think you ultimately probably could have gotten them for a second and maybe another pick, and no team was willing to do that. But they knew, hey, if it doesn't resolve itself at the trade deadline, if we keep him and we try to compete this season, he's not – I think they feel like the bang for the buck just isn't there. And when he came back late in the season, his production, he clearly is no longer the number one. Puka Nacua, far and away, is the number one receiver there. And – you know, I think they know if we move on from him, you know, if we can potentially get a trade partner for, say, a sixth round pick at this point, they're going to pay $12.5 million. He'll probably fill a number two wide receiver role. And maybe some team feels like he can still be productive. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, it's going to take the right team, but there are teams out there that I think could use a solid number two, and $12.5 million. If you really think you can at least get number two production out of him, it's a solid price tag. And, but I think that process is really just kind of starting for them. And, but he won't be there. I knew this. You always, with the Rams, you always kind of know a year early, because I remember Jalen Ramsey, it was like, I started hearing they're not going to pay him. He's going to want a new deal. They'll move off of him. You know, you knew kind of a year early, you knew what his last year was going to be. And prior to this season, it kind of felt that way with Kupp. And pretty quickly, once the season started, it was like, yeah, this will be it for Cooper. He's going to be elsewhere in 2025.
So, Charles, lots of conversation around the officiating this week down at the Super Bowl. Roger Goodell was asked about officiating, and the NFL Referees Association, Scott Green, came out and talked about it, you know, how ridiculous it is to presume that, you know, the officials are basically in favor of a team out there. What do you make of the conversation around this, and I guess the need that it felt like the NFL Referees Association had to feel like they had to respond to all this?
Well, I think people are there's sensitivity now. Like, people are just getting sick of hearing, well, it's the Chiefs are getting all the calls. And I thought it was interesting. Someone talked to Belichick about it the other day, and Belichick basically was the same deal. It's like, yeah, when we won a lot, everybody said the Patriots, we got all the calls, and it's just germane to, when you have a team that's this dominant for this long, I think it's a couple of different things. You're always on prime time, or you're on prime time a lot. You play a lot of huge playoff games, so all these eyeballs are on you. People start nitpicking constantly. But I do think one aspect of this that will be approached in the off season is, and I think Aikman has something to do with this, during the broadcast of the Texans-Chiefs playoff game, Aikman got super critical of of officiating, and it was two personal fouls that were called. One where Mahomes was in the pocket and he got hit kind of high, which I kind of thought was, it's a judgment call at that point. I didn't think it was that egregious. But then when Mahomes was running around on another play and he slid late and he kind of got caught, I didn't think it was deserving a personal foul penalty. But Aikman went off in the broadcast and was just calling it terrible. And, that's got to be addressed this offseason. That's a huge partner who's just straight up going after your officials really hard. And then after that, I think he went on the SI Media podcast and he was he brought up gambling. And he's all the money that's on these games, I think the league, owes it to the fans to get it right. And I'm man, this dude's going in. he's really that sticks in the craw for the league, and there's not really anything they can do about it other than press. Obviously, you're trying to impress on your rights holders. Hey, your flagship, analysts, if you're killing us, that's not, that's a problem.
Well, maybe their officiating should be better.
I mean, they should
be more accountable.
I think the late slides, I think that is something that they'll look at where they're going to say, hey, this idea where you're getting down too late and you're getting hit, we're not going to be, I think that could be adjusted, or there could be more of a emphasis put on that where quarterbacks know you're not getting these flags. If you're sliding late and you get hit, that's just how it's going to be. So don't be throwing your hands up calling for one, which you do see a lot. And, but I think, I think it was interesting because the Bills game, Cleet Blakeman, right, was you put him on the crew. And when you looked at Cleet's numbers against the Chiefs, he was when you looked at how the calls went in games that he officiated, I think it actually was, 6-5 against the Chiefs, in terms of the totality of penalties. And I think that was purposeful. There was a reason why they put him on the crew in that Bills game, because they were we don't want to deal with this. But then you have
they put a Chiefs hater on the crew.
I mean, from a numbers standpoint, I do think they did that to make it a defensible point where they're look, you can't tell us that you don't have an officiating crew that doesn't have really even numbers when it comes to how it plays out for the Chiefs. But then you run into the ball spotting issue, which Roger got asked about on Monday. And, he brought up this idea that the technology is more difficult. It's not like tennis balls. It's an oblong ball. It's different. But they're, he made it pretty clear they're going to try and push maybe other elements of technology, get better at the ball spotting. And I don't know what to tell you about the Chiefs thing. The fans tend to believe it. I'm sure other teams tend to believe it. I heard it about Brady for years. He always gets calls that nobody else does. I think that does happen with stars. They definitely get calls that other stars don't, or sure, that other players don't. But I also think people are just sick of this with the Chiefs, to be completely honest with you. I think people are over it. And they're tired of seeing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They're tired of seeing them in the AFC title game. And I thought it was interesting, even at one point during the podiums on media night, a media member asked Travis Kelce, if you could ask the media a question, what would it be? And Kelce was like, why are you guys buying into all this flag stuff? And I was like, whoa, I couldn't believe he.
But it's everywhere. I mean, these guys are getting asked these dumb. No. I know Media Day is dumb, but it's who's your favorite ref, Patrick? And it's just, it's just.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. But I mean, that's one of those things where you're it raised my eyebrow because I'm okay, the Chiefs are talking. They're thinking about this. This is on their minds. They have not even been able to shut this out. It's so prominent. And I just thought the whole demeanor of the Chiefs was interesting on Monday. They remind me of when we got to that point with the Patriots where it was Super Bowl number 5, Super Bowl number 6, and they just were the joy, of the moment did not feel like it was, it's like for them, they're just let's just do this. Come on, let's just play the game. They're done with all the frills of Super Bowl week and they just want to get onto the game. And I remember when it got like that with the Patriots where this whole experience just felt rote to them. And I wonder, and I could be completely wrong here and I'll probably get killed on it because I've said it a few times, I would not be surprised if maybe they came out a little flat in this game, just because when you watch them, they seem annoyed to have to do a lot of the stuff that they're doing. And even when they, you know, they're having fun, it kind of feels a little pressed. And I think that's what happens when you're in the Super Bowl over and over and over again.
Well, the Eagles are also going to get every call Sunday. So I mean, this has been like the biggest working of the officials in favor of the other team I've ever seen, right? Like, seriously. I mean, that's totally what I expect. Looking forward, Charles, I've just assumed, and I think this is just BS, right, from the union, but I've assumed 18 is obvious. You're not sticking at 17 for long, but there is some rhetoric coming from the player side.
Yeah, kind of.
You still on that? It's an inevitability.
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% happening. And, like, I sat in the NFLPA's meeting yesterday and listened to the whole, you know, Lloyd Howell go through the whole song and dance of, you know, nobody wants to play in 18. So everybody, you know, every player I talked to, nobody wants to play. You know, Jalen Reeves-Mavens, the president of the NFLPA, I mean, they're all saying the same thing. And I'm like, okay, there's a difference between nobody wants to play it and we absolutely are not going to play it. And that's just where this is. The funny thing is when they say nobody wants to play it, then Lloyd Howell will go through 14 bullet points of that. It's his negotiating list. It's like, here are all the things we need to talk about. And then after these 15 things, then we get to revenue share. I'm like, okay, well, that's what you got 5 years and until the next CBA. And I think Roger would like to get it on the rails earlier than that and see if maybe they could expand the season maybe by 2027. You know, but that's, I also think that's part of what Roger's doing is that when he has an opportunity to bring it up, he does, because he hasn't talked to them. Even the union's like, we haven't had any talks with them about it. Other than like Lloyd Howell is like, the first time I heard about it was when Roger said it on the Pat McAfee show before the draft. And I'm like, why would you even admit that? Like, that's a slap to you that the commissioner basically comes out and says, you know, yeah, 18 games is something we're looking at. I think Roger's just trying to draw him into, you know, however he can, trying to draw him into some kind of a dialogue and start working out. But it's 100% going to happen. And even if they put their foot down and said, no way, they just get locked out and they'd lose again. Like I've been through way too many of these labor things over 20 years. They'll never win as a labor organization until they erase games. They're never going to be willing to erase games. And owners know that. And so eventually they'll get to the point where the revenue share will be where it needs to be. They'll kick in some other, you know, things across the broader spectrum of the CBA to make players feel like they're getting somewhat of a deal. And it ultimately get passed. So, but the last one was like pulling teeth. So I wouldn't be surprised if the next one, it's sort of the same situation. One thing I will say this too, the PA, when it comes to like where they're at and how they fight, they don't have the same star power. Like there was a time when it was Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. These were the players who were at the forefront of labor fights. And they were the ones saying, okay, we want to sit down. We're going to put all our big quarterbacks. It was Brady versus the NFL when they, you know, dissolved the union, all that stuff. I don't see that anymore. Now it's just, they've kind of lost the star power. You know, it's a lot of rank and file guys that are carrying the weight. I think that resonates a little differently when they really get into this fight in a couple of years.
Very, very interesting. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Enjoy New Orleans. Get you some oysters while you're down there. And we'll talk to you next week.
Maybe a beignet.
Right, sounds good, guess. I had Joe. I had Dave Burkett was at dinner with us last night. So
nice.
We had a good time talking about you. Yeah.
Oh, good. I bet.
Great dinner time conversation.
Yeah. Only guy to win an intramural football game while he's smoking a cigarette playing quarterback.
Damn right, baby.
Legend lives on. Thank you, Charles.
All right, guys.
See ya.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Plus, I got a 4-pack of wristbands to give away to the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show at Opryland Convention Center, Thursday, February 13th through Saturday, February 15th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show coming up at Opryland Convention Center. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Belmont men's basketball as they take on Missouri State at the Curb Event Center this Saturday. Tip off at 4 o'clock. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025. Duncan fans, come experience the new age of Duncan at the grand opening of their newly remodeled Brentwood location at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane tomorrow morning. Duncan will be giving away 100 days of free coffee to the first 100 guests in line starting at 8 o'clock. Plus, Robbie and Rex Road, that is us, will be broadcasting live from 6 to 9 a.m., and we'll have Preds tickets to give away as well. So come hang with us tomorrow at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane in Brentwood at the Duncan.
Can we have some donuts?
I'm going to.
Okay. I'm going to try not to.
I'm not. I'm going on vacation.
You eat mine.
I don't care.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. I'm trying.
I ran a mile yesterday. Does that count?
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that to me, that's like 8 donuts.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? You know, that's not the math, Keezer.
Keezer said what?
8, right? You burn 8 donuts with each mile you run.
I think that's
right.
How that works.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
I think that's how that works. Thanks to Charles for coming on the show during a busy Super Bowl week for him. The Myles Garrett thing is going to be interesting because, as he kind of laid out there, you know, financially, how is Cleveland really going to pull it off? That's interesting to monitor. And again, like if you're Cleveland, you're like, well, we don't want to get rid of you. Why would we want to get rid of Myles Garrett here? So it's going to be really interesting to see how they make all this work and whether or not Myles Garrett is a member of another team by the time training camp rolls around.
Yeah, that was a lot of cold water on the idea of anybody else but Cleveland employing Myles Garrett. Sorry, Lions fans. Interesting, too. See, there's an example of the cap conversation that's a smart conversation, which is could they – if they did something, can they make something work? Yes, they can make things work. They can kick the can. Also, they're going to cut some mid-level players that they don't want to cut that make their – which makes their team weaker because the cap is real. But anyway, just a quick aside there. But that's that's some cold water on the idea of anyone actually getting it. You know, when you get into trades where like you see what people are throwing around as compensation,
yep,
it is it does seem a little bit unrealistic, and I think that's exactly the thing with Cleveland is like I mean Myles Garrett I just saw today you know on he was in Radio Row talking about wanting a quarterback, you know,
yeah.
And he thought he had one, of course, I'm sure, with Deshaun Watson. But if they were to just figure that out, they do have a pretty good roster. I totally agree.
Think they've got a good head coach.
Yeah. The fact that he survived through all this, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess you could look at them and say that's how incompetent they are. But, no, I think it's because he's good and people know he's good. So if you just had, like, Flacco taking them to the playoffs, if you just had decent QB play, they could be a playoff team in the AFC.
It is interesting to hear Charles talk about Stafford because it wasn't that long ago, it was probably a few weeks ago, where it felt like Stafford probably wasn't going anywhere in L.A., and he talked about that. And it kind of seems like the tone on that has shifted. As he pointed out, the Rams have not closed the door on the Stafford thing, and he very well could end up back there. But they also really have not expressed anything like they're committing towards Stafford at this point either. And he said, you know, it's likely that he could become – a free agent. So maybe that doesn't affect the Titans directly in terms of like, I'm with you. I think Stafford choosing to come here is not at all likely, but it will affect the Titans from the standpoint of if you're looking for a veteran quarterback, well, you add one more to the mix.
Right.
And if he goes somewhere else, that's a job that somebody else on the veteran market does not have.
Exactly. The more people that can come into the market that people are interested in, the better for you. Somebody that was going to go somewhere else may have to go to you. Now, you know, I mean, that's
yeah.
So absolutely. If you're the Titans, you're a Titans fan, you're rooting for that to end and for the market to be better. More options for more teams.
More options for more teams. And then the question would be, well, okay, if you're getting rid of Stafford, what are the Rams doing at quarterback, right? Like, what's the next quarterback answer for the Rams? Because, like, you're looking at where they're scheduled to draft right now. I mean, they're 26th. So it's not like you're entering into the mix for Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, I think, at number 26. Now, you know, we know how the Rams have felt about draft picks before. I mean, could they leverage something at some point to try to move up? Maybe. But if it's not going to be Stafford, who's the quarterback in L.A.? That's also going to be interesting to monitor.
Was last year all one big shart for dart in L.A.? Maybe. Charles threw out Dart. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not excited about that. But, yeah, maybe they love Jackson Dart. After Bo Nix last year, I'm open to just somebody I think is very mid.
Yeah.
Being the apple of some team's eye and it working out. And Sean McVay knows quarterbacks. Sean McVay, he moved on from a good quarterback to a better quarterback, won a Super Bowl. We really haven't seen Sean McVay, we haven't seen Sean McVay have his own guy. I mean, Goff was in place with the number one pick, by Jeff Fisher prior to him. So he's never actually chosen
the young quarterback.
So I guess we'll see if he's good at it or not. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm that plan because I still think they've got a pretty good roster and, with good quarterback play, I think they've got a chance to be in the mix. Like the thing is with them this year, when everybody was healthy, like when Kupp was healthy and Nacua was healthy and Stafford was healthy, they're pretty good. I mean, they took Philadelphia to the wire in that game, and I think they had a chance to be a pretty good team. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Stafford. Like, if Stafford becomes available, if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm doing everything I can to get him as their quarterback.
I agree. Yeah. And I don't know that he pushes them to the top tier, but they're a team that you have to contend with much more seriously if you're like the rest of the AFC North, for sure, if they have Matthew Stafford. I think he still has – I don't see like a big reduction in maybe a little bit in his mobility, which was never amazing in the first place, but maybe a little bit of that. But I feel like the ball's still coming out like a laser there. Throws a bad pick every now and then, but that would absolutely change their trajectory.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the quarterback front, reaction to what Charles Robinson had to say, plus the question we threw out there earlier. Which quarterback could the Titans end up with this offseason that you would absolutely hate if that's the way things play out? More on that coming up next. This week, Stillman & Company broadcasting live and providing live updates from New Orleans on Radio Row leading up to the big game. Coverage presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Family Leisure, Shane Company, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and 312 Pizza, and thenewcumberland.com. We'll have more with Robbie and Rex Road coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits Nashville tonight for MTSU men's basketball. Blue Raiders taking on Jacksonville State. Tip off at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5:30. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Which quarterback could the Titans end up with this offseason where you would absolutely hate it? Now, we've gone all over the map with that discussion today. My answer was Justin Fields. I don't like that idea. I think a lot of the weaknesses that he has at the quarterback position is what they just dealt with Will Levis. There are some people that have said today Justin Fields would be like their preferred outcome here, and that would be the quarterback that they would choose.
So I'm more with them than you.
We've gone all over the map on that part of it. We've had a lot of votes for Aaron Rodgers saying that they don't want Rodgers to be the Titans quarterback here. But I think probably the most popular answer, Joe, that we've had on this discussion is either one of the rookies, Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, has been probably the most popular answer we've had aside from Will Levis, discussed earlier in the show. I don't consider that to be overly realistic, that he's the starting quarterback.
No. I do have on the YouTube chat, Avanzies says a QB I would hate to have is Sam Darnold on a long-term contract. So there you go.
Okay.
That, to me, is probably, to me, the best realistic option is that the Titans get Darnold. I think if they got Darnold, I don't know. Am I overreacting to what we saw this year? I think if they got Darnold for, again, can you get a four-year deal where you're pretty much locked in for two?
Yeah.
I think they'd have decent quarterbacking. I don't know that he'd be great. He had a great situation there, but he showed me something this year, despite the way it finished.
I'd feel a lot better about that if it was just strictly free agency. When you get into the franchise tag and having to give up picks in order to do it, again, I said it earlier in the offseason, if you feel great about him being a franchise quarterback, then giving up, you know, 35 as Stillman has thrown out there, I don't think is a huge price to pay for a franchise quarterback. But again, you got to be pretty sure he's your franchise quarterback if you're doing that. I'd feel way better about Sam Darnold if it was just, yeah, Minnesota's letting him go to free agency and you're the highest bidder for him.
Well, still he's investigating down in New Orleans, tells right him that there's a 0% chance he's going to be with the Vikings next year.
Look, we have heard some of that.
I don't understand. I really don't understand if you're the Vikings, why you wouldn't tag him and get something for it.
I don't either, other than we've talked about, number one, they clearly love J.J. McCarthy, which is fine. But, again, he's coming off an injury and he hasn't played a snap yet. I just think the tag makes a lot of sense from the standpoint of, even if you're going to move him, have him under your control, and then you could get something for him at that point. Now, they've got a left tackle that they've got to find a way to get back in there as well. So, do you have to use the tag on him? Do you come to a long-term agreement with him? I mean, there are some extenuating circumstances that they're going to have there. But I'm with you. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense to tag him no matter what.
Yeah, and if not, then – yeah, you know, it's like a Darnold is a guy who very different from Stafford. Stafford's like timeline limited. Give me the best possible situation to win now. Darnold, of course, money. Of course, who actually wants me? Who actually? I mean, that's the biggest part of the whole thing. But look, you could be talked into. I think if you're Darnold, talked into Nashville, and the expectations are low, that they are at the bottom. They're only going to go up from here. Callahan's a good QB guy. Look who he's worked with, et cetera, et cetera. I think he could be talked into that.
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, and with him, it's different than some of these other veteran guys. He also has not yet gotten, like, his big payday. So that's going to factor in heavily to whatever his next stop is.
And to me, he's going to get a payday, a way better payday than you would have thought a year ago. It's not going to be big, big payday, but – I mean, again, relative to quarterbacks, relative to humans on Earth, it's quite a payday.
Nick in Franklin says, no, Darnold is too good for us to be bad and too bad for us to be good. We need to either draft a franchise quarterback or suck and look at quarterback in the draft the next year. Again, I understand.
Who are you drafting next year?
I understand that thought process.
Who's great next year, Nick?
I don't know. Look, there's potential that you could have some – pretty intriguing prospects next year. But I just don't know yet about any of them. Beck, Drew Aller. Like, there's a lot of people that feel good about him.
Okay. He's got traits. Drew Aller has traits. I have not seen him be great. He's got traits. Nico's got traits. Arch can run. Okay. But next year is going to be amazing. Like, we knew that Caleb Williams and Drake May at this point, before their year, we're coming next year.
Correct.
I don't know anybody next year that I feel great about.
No, I don't either. Now, having said that, we knew Caleb Williams and Drake May were coming at this point when they were heading in their last year at college. We did not know Jaden Daniels was, and then he ascended into what he is.
Sure.
So that happens a lot as well of somebody, not necessarily out of nowhere, because it wasn't like Jaden Daniels wasn't good before that, but he elevated into being a great player and a Heisman Trophy winner. So does that happen with Drew Aller next year? Maybe. Does that happen with, I don't know, Nico or Arch Manning? Maybe. I don't know. But you can't make that call today if you're an NFL team looking ahead and saying, well, yeah, we feel great about Nico next year being like coming out of the draft.
Right. Yeah, the Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow actually really similar. Both going to their last year at LSU, it was like, yeah, pretty good. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, Heisman winner. Although I did not realize Jaden Daniels was going to be what he is. Good for you, Washington. Washington fans. You're going to have a heck of a time. But you're right, that does happen. And then you have years like this where, you know, a year ago, the guy you probably talk about was Carson Beck. And instead, no thanks, go to Miami for a year, see what you can do, right? It's just, but right now, anybody's saying, well, it's stink for next year. You might not like stinking and being that high next year in terms of the QB at all.
Yeah, I mean, also – look, if you don't love a quarterback this year, you can't, to me, taking one just because you're afraid that you might not be in a position to get one next year is just a horrible way to go about things. Like, I just don't think you can operate that way. There are ways to find a way to get to try to move back up and get a quarterback. Or look, I mean, if you're going the veteran route, and let's say Darnold does become available, like you're hoping, like Darnold's what, 27, 28? Like you're hoping that you could get a few good years out of him. Like the most important thing for this group right now, yes, finding a quarterback. You know, right there with it, particularly with Brian Callahan. Why don't you win some games? Like get back to playing a little bit of winning football, you know? Been a while since we've seen some of that around here.
Exactly. Get good football players. Get a good quarterback. See what happens. It's a way better life than, you know, just trying constantly. Again, and the idea of, oh, you really want to suck, did you? So go through that. And then what's that? What is that going to be like when you suck for another year? Who gets fired? Who's coming in?
Yeah, I mean, it's, like Callahan's definitely getting
fired.
Yeah,
I mean, it's yeah. You can't. That's not how you go about your business. And it's. I think I ended the show yesterday the same way, but it's like the good thing about the NFL now is you just opportunities open up in the veteran QB realm so much more now than they used to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
it makes the league more fun. It makes the league more fun. It also gives teams more ways to escape the quarterback desert.
The quarterback movement that we're seeing the last 3-4 years in the offseason, it's awesome. Like I think it's great for the league. So I really, really, really like it. And I think it does change kind of your outlook if you're a team, because you can get into some of these deals just easier than you could before with the way that things are structured now. That does it for us today. We'll be live at Dunkin' tomorrow. Come hang out with us 6 to 9 a.m. down in Brentwood.
We'll see you there.
Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.